Well, what an honor and a privilege it is to be able to stand behind this pulpit again. I just want to say thank you to Pastor and to Brother David, one, for their investment into me and to my family, and for the opportunities that they have given for me to grow in my ministry for Christ. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Exodus. If you can find your place, Exodus chapter 13, specifically verse 21. When you find your place, if you're able, I ask that you stand with me in the honor of God's word. So Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. And if you just look down to chapter 14, verse 4, I just want you to look at the last four words of the verse. And they did so. And they did so. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for another opportunity to be in your house and to preach your word. Father, I know you have something here for us, and I just ask that each person here's heart would be receptive to what it is and that we would apply these truths to our lives. Father, I ask that you just allow me to say the things you want and not say the things you don't, that you'll be with us this evening. And we'll give you all the honor and glory in it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So let me ask, have you ever been on a trip and gotten lost? Anybody? Maybe directions took you to the wrong place, or you thought you knew where you were going and decided you didn't need directions to get there. Have you ever followed a GPS or some navigation unit and didn't pay attention to what Siri is trying to tell you what to do? You got distracted, so you just kept driving and realized that you were supposed to turn left 40 miles ago. You know, me and Megan, we've taken a lot of trips. We travel to West Virginia quite often, and I don't necessarily enjoy flying, so we drive a lot. Throughout our marriage, we've driven a lot of places. So we've been in this situation many times, and oftentimes it always leads us onto very interesting back roads. There's been times that when Megan and I have traveled, and I thought I knew better than the GPS, and there was traffic, and I said, you know, we don't need to listen to this thing. I know where I'm going. Let's take a turn here so we can avoid this traffic. Or, you know what? I think I know a faster route. I don't, but I think I do. It normally ends up going like this. We end up on roads that have no gas stations. We end up on roads that have no restaurants, no bathrooms, much longer travel time, and a very, very, very upset wife. Often my wife will ask me, Keith, are we lost? And I give a very confident, no, we're not lost. I know exactly where I'm going. What are you talking about? Just, you're good staying in the passenger seat. Again, the conversation comes up and she doesn't ask this time. She says very confidently in a bold statement, Keith, we are lost. What are we doing? My response again is the same. No, we're not lost. I know exactly where I'm going. I just forget to mention the fact that where I'm going is wherever the road we're currently on leads. And I have no idea where we're at. I'm just hoping it leads to somewhere that I'm familiar with. You see, one time that I didn't listen to the GPS, me and my wife were traveling to West Virginia. It's a long journey. We normally have to break it up into two days. I have three young children. They have a very short time period when they're in the car, okay? There becomes a point at nighttime where they just want to be out of their car seat and they turn into possessed little children that scream at the top of their lungs, and it is a nightmare. I'm sure other parents have experienced that, and if not, I need your advice. So we're driving, and my wife, it's about 11:30-ish. My wife says, hey, we need to start considering it's time to stop. I say, okay, and she looks on the phone, she finds a hotel, she puts the directions in, and we're driving, and it says, you're gonna get off this exit in 2 miles. I'm like, okay. I get 1 mile away, I look back, my kids are sound asleep, and I'm like, you know what? We can make it a few more hours. We can make this trip short tomorrow. We don't gotta drive another 8 hours tomorrow. We're gonna have to do four. I got this. I don't turn off on the exit, I hit the little silent button on my phone. And I keep going. It doesn't take but an hour, and my kids wake up screaming like wild animals. My wife is very upset. She says, we need to find somewhere to stop now. So I pull off on the first exit. Well, we try to find a hotel that allows for dogs to stay. Now, listen, we had our puppy with us. I'm not calling my kids dogs. Okay, we had a little puppy. So I had to find somewhere for us to stay. We go, I'm tired, I pull up, I go in, I pay for the room, we pull around, and all of a sudden, I quickly realize this is a place we should not be. This is a place that I should not have my wife, I should not have taken my children. There's people partying all over outside of the hotel, if you can call it that, doing things and drinking things they shouldn't be doing, partaking in other activities. I'm like, well, maybe we should go find somewhere else. My wife, no, I am tired. The kids are tired. We're going to stay here. This is your mistake. We'll deal with it tomorrow. Okay, so we get out, we unload, we start going. And all of a sudden, I just get this feeling. We shouldn't be here. So I make my family get back in the car. I go back to the office. They give me a refund after saying, yeah, we understand. We won't stay here with kids either. And I'm thinking that would have been good advice before I paid. So we go, and it caused our trip to be even longer, more exhausting, and tired. You see, oftentimes, we have a GPS. It gives us directions, but we don't listen. I know I don't look it, but I am old enough to remember a time where we did not have these units. We didn't have navigations. We didn't have GPS. I know I look like I'm in my mid-20s. I get it. But I remember being a kid, and when we would take a trip, we'd have to plan our route out by map. You'd have to figure out exactly what road you're going to take. And then as you're driving, somebody would have the map, and they would say when we need to turn, what road to get off on, what highway to get onto. And you had to figure it all out ahead of time. Nowadays, it's so much easier. We have phones, navigation units. We just type in where we want to go, and it'll take us there. Again, you have to follow the directions, though. You see, today's navigation devices are similar to the direction that God gives us in our lives. They're similar, but also very, very different. My title tonight is God's Perfect Steps, or GPS for short. Tonight, we're going to see how God navigates his people every step of the way. And through our text here, three truths that I know will take us through this life and allow us to increase our walk with Christ. Before we get into those truths, I just want to take a look at the background information of how we got to this point in verse 21. So you see, Moses is leading, and they're following after God's directions. The pillar of a cloud and the pillar of a fire, God's presence is guiding Israel to the place where he needs them to go. They had just left Egypt, and we're not going to go through all the plagues, but the final plague, the firstborn being taken out of Egypt, Pharaoh reached a point where he finally was broken, and he told Moses to go, to take the people of Israel and to leave. So they do. And they're journeying, and God leads them to the Red Sea. Well, this was a place in the wilderness, in the Red Sea. It was not the most opportune place if you're trying to escape somebody. They were trapped. Pharaoh quickly recognized this, and he changes his heart. It becomes hardened again, and he decides, we shouldn't let him go. So he prepares his chariots, prepares his armies, and they chase after Israel. Chapter 14, verse 4, those last four words, this is after God gave direction to Moses for them to go there, to be in this place, and explain that Pharaoh is going to see that they're entangled, that they're trapped. But Israel did so. God's word tells us, and they did so. They listened. Because they did so, God delivered Israel. Miraculously parted the Red Sea. Israel walks across dry ground. Pharaoh leads his armies in a rage after them. The waves come crashing down and they are utterly destroyed. So again, out of our verse tonight, I see three truths that we can apply to our lives. The first truth that I see is the presence. You see, in verse 21, the very beginning, it says, and the Lord went before them. We must embrace God's presence in our lives. We must embrace it. The pillar of cloud and fire that went before Israel was more than a mere spectacle. It was God's very presence, a visible reminder that he was in control and he was with them. This divine presence was designed to comfort, protect, and prepare the people for their journey ahead. Within this presence, I see that there was a divine nearness. The Israelites saw that cloud and knew that God was with them every step of the way. His presence was not hidden or abstract. It was tangible. It was a reassuring reality for them. It was something they could count on, and it did not cease. See, in verse 22, it says, He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God's presence was continually with them. They saw the pillar of fire and knew that God would light their paths. As long as they were within the will of God, they did not have to fear getting lost in the dark. In our lives, embracing His presence means to consciously recognize that God goes before us. We must learn to trust that in every trial, in every moment of uncertainty, that God is already present in guiding us. He is always there and will never leave us. Within this presence, I also see that there must be a response, our response. Just as the Israelites acknowledged the cloud and fire with trust, we are too called to welcome God's presence into our daily lives. In prayer, meditation, and quiet reflection, let us open our hearts to His nearness. When we encounter difficulties or feel lost, let His presence be our comfort. Let it be our strength. Begin each day by inviting God into your plans and your decisions. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Recognize that His presence is the cornerstone of our faith, a constant companion who leads us through every challenge. When questions or fears arise, remember, and they did so. Israel trusted, and so can we. When's the last time that you felt and embraced the presence of God in your life? When is the last time your prayers have been answered, or that you've experienced a blessing being bestowed upon you? Just like with Israel, God does not leave us, but we can reach a point where we quench the Holy Spirit and we put it so far down, so far away from us, that we no longer hear God speaking in our life. And it can feel like that God is not there, but He is continually with us. Those same pillars, the pillars of the cloud and the fire, are still present in our lives today. All we have to do is open our eyes and see, and when we see them, we must follow after them. Not only do I see the presence, but I see the path. See, in verse 21, it says, to lead them the way, and it also says to give them light. We must step onto His perfect path for our lives. In Exodus 14, we witnessed that the path of God set before His people was not the most direct. It was not the easiest. The fastest path was straight across. See, the reality is when God led Israel out of Egypt, the quickest way to the promised land, if Egypt is up here, would have been straight across. And they could have got to the promised land much faster. But instead, God led them down to the Red Sea. The reality is the shortest distance Israel would have come across Egyptian guard towers. They would eventually crossed into the Philistines' territory. God understood where Israel was at, that He understood where their hearts were at. God knew what they could and could not endure. He knew what they were prepared for and were not prepared for. He knew exactly what would happen if He led them the shortest distance. See, the reality is God certainly could have taken care of the Egyptian guard towers. There's nothing impossible for God. God could have taken care of the Philistines. God could have plucked Israel right out of Egypt and placed them in the promised land. But our God doesn't work that way. Because our God understands that sometimes we must take the longer route. So the trials of our lives can burn away the impurities, and He can mold us into a people that bring honor and glory to Him, to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. See, within the path, I see that this is a path with divine purpose. God's path is one that shapes and refines us. Israel was not led straight to their destination because their hearts were not yet prepared for the challenges ahead. Our lives are marked by detours and delays that serve a divine purpose. To step onto God's path is to accept that every twist and turn is designed to mold us into the people God intends us to be, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. You see, once you accept Christ as your Savior, your destination is determined. The moment you accept Christ, you will spend eternity in heaven with God. But it's not the destination that we just sit around waiting for. God didn't intend for us to get saved and then just wait until we go to heaven. It's going to be a glorious day. I'm looking forward to it, but God intended for us to be on the journey to that destination in this life, growing in our faith and our walk with Christ, focusing on each step that God is directing, keeping our minds and our hearts on the mission at hand to fulfill the Great Commission and see a lost and dying world turn to Christ. Not only do I see a path with divine purpose, but I see that there was preparation through obedience. See, preparation through obedience is actively getting ready for something by following instructions or aligning your actions with a set of guidelines. In Exodus 14, as the Israelites faced the imminent threat of the Egyptian army, they had no choice but to trust God's instructions. Their willingness to follow, and they did so, resulted in the miraculous parting of the Red Sea. This act was not just a means of escape, but a powerful preparation for the covenant at Mount Sinai and the challenges that they would experience in their future walk with God. Going back to me and Megan traveling, so when we first got married, we lived in Kentucky. It was only about 3 hours from my in-laws, and I absolutely love my in-laws. I know some of y'all might not, but I do. They're fantastic. We used to go back and visit all the time. And one night, we're visiting, it's the weekend, I got to get back for work on Monday, so we leave late Sunday night after church, and I'm tired, so my wife is driving. I'm sitting in the front seat. This was before kids, so it's just me and my wife. I'm sitting in the front seat, and I'm tired, so I fall asleep. I don't do well if I'm not driving. I'll be out like that. It doesn't matter if it's the middle of the day or nighttime. I'm a terrible person if you're on a road trip because you're going to be by yourself. So I fall asleep. Well, we crossed the state line from West Virginia to Kentucky, and I had this dream. And in my dream, we were about to crash into a mountain. Now, I understand we don't have those here. Mountains are these real big things like this. If you were to hit them, it would not be good. I had this dream that we're about to crash into this mountain. In my dream, I remember exactly the sound and the feeling, and I remember us going across the rumble strip. It's like, blah, 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 blah. Anybody ever go across those things? And so I woke up in a panic. I mean, an absolute panic, and I saved us. I grabbed the wheel and jerked it as hard as I could. And we shoot all the way across the rumble strip, boom, 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 and almost slam into the mountain that I'm pretty sure I was dreaming about. Fortunately, my wife was able to get us back on track. She took control of the wheel after smacking me a few times. And she immediately stopped the car. Now listen, I'm tired. I just woke up. I think I just saved our lives. So I'm like half there. I think I just saved our lives. My wife is furious. I'm not really understanding what's going on because I'm thinking I kind of deserve a thank you. Stops the car. She gets out immediately, walks around to the passenger side, rips me out of the car, starts yelling at me. And I'm like, what is happening right now? You were about to kill us and I just saved us. She says, you're going to drive. I will never drive again. And listen, to this day, my wife very rarely will drive with me in the front seat. When she does, I'd sit in the very back. So she was very angry. But don't we do that in our own lives with God? God will have us on his path. He's keeping the wheel straight. He knows how to keep us safe. He knows to keep us away from the dangers that are to the left and to the right of the road. And then all of a sudden we get an idea, we get a thought of who we want to be, of what we want to do, of where we want to go. And we reach over and we say, no, I got this. And I grab the wheel. And all of a sudden we're headed right for danger. We have to trust that God knows what is best for our lives. See, when you encounter obstacles or delays in your journey, it is not the time to say, I got this, and to take the wheel from God. Remember that God's path is purposeful. Instead of seeking shortcuts to your desires, submit to the process that God has planned. Reflect on Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Each detour is an opportunity for growth. It's a divine appointment that prepares our hearts and refines our character. When God's plans differ from our plans, I know with a certainty that God's plans are always better. Are you on God's path, or are you trying to forge your own? Are you seeking after your own pleasures or to please God? Would you even know what God's path for your life looked like? Or have you quenched the Holy Spirit so much that you don't even hear it anymore? You wouldn't even recognize where you're supposed to be. I see the presence, embracing God's presence, stepping on the God's path. But I also see the truth that of the pursuit, that we must pursue God, His presence and His path without pause. See, in verse 21, it says, to go by day and night. The command to follow God by day and night speaks to the relentless, unwavering commitment that true faith requires. The Israelites' response to God's leading was not half-hearted. It was complete, decisive, constant, captured in the simple declaration, and they did so. Now, I understand that Israel, eventually, they did waver, they did murmur, they had questions, they had doubts, they got off track many times. But in this moment, God's word tells us, and they did so. Within the pursuit, I see that there is a need for continual obedience. The phrase by day and night reminds us that our pursuit of God must be continual. To pursue God without pause is to let our lives be defined by persistent obedience and relentless faith. Even when the way is shrouded in darkness or fraught with danger, our response must be to trust and to follow. On the pursuit, I also see here that there is faith in action. When Israel followed after the pillar of a cloud and fire, and when they stood at the edge of the Red Sea with Pharaoh's armies closing in, they had no alternative but to step forward in faith. Their action, and they did so, demonstrated an unyielding trust in God's promise. In our lives, this kind of faith transforms challenges into opportunities for divine revelation and breakthrough. We need to commit to a lifestyle of constant pursuit of God. This means setting aside time daily for prayer, Bible study, and worship. Engage in regular fellowship with Christians who encourage you on your journey. When faced with trials, let your actions speak of unwavering commitment, trusting God's word and stepping forward in faith, even when the future is unclear. Are you pursuing God? See, in this life, everything we work for, we get because we're pursuing something. Are the things that you work for in this life, when tested by fire, will there be anything left but ash? See, the things of this world, when tested by fire, will burn and it'll turn to ash. If we're pursuing the things of God, we're pursuing His presence and His path, the things that are tested by fire will come out pure and will last eternity in heaven with us. So in the beginning, I mentioned that GPS units of today are very similar to God's navigation, but there's one big difference. There's one big difference. When we want to go somewhere, we type in the destination. We pull out our phones, we pull out the navigation on our car, we type in where we want to go, and then we follow the directions to where we want to go. God's navigation, God chooses our destination. God chooses how we're going to get there. Both require faith in following the directions given. Both of them, if you choose not to listen to the directions, you're not going to end up getting where you're being led. But they differ greatly in that final destination. See, I've learned that often what I want differs from what God wants. Now, it's not always a complete 180. It's not always that I want to go this way, but God says, no, go this way. Sometimes it is. But often, it's off by a degree. And you see, here's the reality by being off by a degree. At first, it seems like you're not that far. But after you're off by a degree for so long and you continue going on, you eventually look back and you're so far from where God has intended you to be. And you have no idea how you got to where you're at. But every time that I choose God's path, Every time that I follow after God, the destination that He leads me to in that point in my life is always better than anything that I could have planned. And the crazy thing is, those original desires that I had or where I thought I wanted to go fade away as if they were never there. See, it's much easier to follow directions to a destination we set. It's a lot harder to follow after where God wants us to go. God knew where Israel's heart was. See, God didn't take Israel directly to the promised land. Because he understood that if he led them through the Egyptian guard towers, through the territory of the Philistines, that Israel would have been in war. They most likely would have been slaughtered. And the ones that got away would have fled back to Egypt. They would have fled back to the same captivity that he just brought them out of. You see, when Christ came and he died on the cross and we accept him as our Savior, he has set us free from being captives to our sin. Christ came and gave us the ability to be free from that sin. Just like God led Israel out of Egypt, set them free of that captivity. God knows where our hearts are. Oftentimes in our lives, we think, where is the relationship for me? When am I going to get married? You see everybody else around you falling in love and getting married. You see people getting their dream job. You go to college and you work hard. You say, when am I going to get the job that I worked so hard for? When am I going to get the raise that I've worked so hard for? When can I buy my dream car, buy my dream house? You see, just like with Israel, God knows where our hearts are. He knows what we're prepared for and what we're not. And the reality is sometimes things are withheld from us because God knows that if we were in that relationship now, that if we got that job now, that where our hearts are at, that it's most likely going to cause us to go right back into the captivity of sin that Christ freed us from. We have to trust that God is sovereign, that God knows what he's doing, because he does. God knows what you're ready for. He knows what will cause you to flee back. Then if you're not in continual pursuit of the things of Christ, you can easily find yourself fleeing back into those sins that you were freed from. See, the other thing from this text that I see is that cloud that God used to separate Egypt and Israel, it caused light for Israel, for the camp of Israel, and darkness for Egypt. It also kind of saved the Egyptian lives for a short period of time. It blocked them, and they had an opportunity. Seeing the God of the universe, the God that has created everything, they had an opportunity to turn to that God, to repent of their sins, to turn away from what they were trying to do. Just like with the gospel brings light to people. It brings hope. And for those that accept Jesus Christ, there is light in their life. They're going to spend eternity in heaven with God. But the reality is, there's also a darkness for those who reject Christ, for those who decide not to make a decision at all. There is a dark reality that they are going to spend eternity in hell. And it's heartbreaking. The Word of God offers light and hope to all those that call on the name of Christ. Do not leave this place standing in the dark, waiting to be destroyed by the raging waves of eternity, finding yourself trapped for all time in a place called hell. The darkness you are in can quickly and immediately be turned to light by accepting Jesus as your Savior. See, God's perfect steps will be revealed when you continually pursue after his presence and his path. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, today can be the day that the darkness turns to light and your path becomes clear. If you are saved, are you in continuous pursuit of God and his path? Or are you trying to forge your own? See, if you allow God to lead you, he will take you through your Red Sea. And you will experience the miraculous blessings of God in your life. One step at a time, continually pursuing his presence and his path. We have to make a choice. We have to choose to put God first. We have to choose to continually pursue after God and after the path for our lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for another opportunity to be in your word and